Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. Thank you for joining me today. The Love Code is all about uplifting, inspiring, transforming, healing, and expanding your connection to your spirit. So, as always, amazing transformations go on during the show, and my guests always uplift us. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening, for coming every week. If you would like to get the archives for the show, if you can't make it live, then I invite you to go to my website, drcherylselman.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know, like me there. So either opt in to Dr. Cheryl Selman or like me at What Women Must Know, and you will be able to access my archives. And I also have a second show on Progressive Radio Network called What Women Must Know. And if you choose to opt in, choose to like me on Facebook, What Women Must Know, you'll get both of the shows sent to you or posted on my Facebook page so you can read them. It's a good idea because you just don't want to miss any of these inspiring, uplifting, transforming shows. And today is no exception. We're going to have a truly inspiring, transformative conversation today. We're going to be talking about healing the incurables with my guest, Dr. Cheryl Malikoff, and a little bit about Cheryl. She is a PhD, and she received her doctorate in psychology in 1984 from the United States International University in San Diego, California, as the Director of Wellness Through Awareness. Since 1988, she has specialized in the science of transformation through pioneering healing systems to restore the soul, mind, body health of her clients and students. She continues to devote her time and energy to research, writing, and teaching to help others to actualize their human spiritual potential. She also co-founded KnowYouProfiles.com, a site dedicated to fundraising for philanthropic organizations by empowering people through informative, life-inspiring reports that help raise self-awareness. So we're going to have a most fascinating conversation with Dr. Cheryl Malikoff today, and it's my pleasure to welcome Cheryl to the show. So hello, Cheryl.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is such an honor to be part of the Love Codes with you today. Thank you, Cheryl.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I just want to share with everybody that I met Cheryl, and that's a C-H-E-R-Y-L, opposed to an S-H-E-R-R-I-L-L. So I met you at the amazing retreat that I was invited to by Dr. and Master Shah last November. And we had a special little meeting of various health professionals who were really committed to taking the teachings of Master Shah into their profession. And you had shared some amazing stories of what you were doing with the teachings in your practice. So that was when I first connected with you and was so impressed with what you're doing. And I'm just so happy that we've continued our connection and our relationship. And you're going to be able to share the research you've been doing and the results you've been getting through this spiritual process, which really allows us all to open up our minds of what's possible. But before we go there, let's just talk a bit about your journey, Cheryl, and how you found your way to the work you're doing now.
Well, thank you for asking that. That's one of my truest stories. After getting a PhD, it was the most saddest day of my life, actually, because I was the embodiment of a lot of models, but I wanted to be a healer, and I knew there was 180 degrees difference between the ability to have knowledge and the wisdom to ignite the healing inherent aspects in individuals. And so at that moment, I just threw myself onto the kitchen floor in a primordial scream, told the universe that you had to send me to my teacher. And as the universe always answers in the most elegant and circuitous manner, in a very short order, I met a very unusual man who was one of the most preeminent radiesthesiologists, the ability to heal at a distance, researcher. And the minute I met him, I recognized what he embodied, which was these blueprint templates of the emotional, spiritual, human design and how to ignite these inherent abilities that we have all been gifted with as part of our, I'll call it karmic genetic encoding, and how to enliven these circuits. And I made a vow in that moment that I was going to do anything, go any place, make any investment necessary to embody these qualities. And I know this doesn't sound particularly poetic, but I spent the next 20 years on my back mapping these circuits of consciousness that had the ability to enliven these functions and abilities that were inherent to all of us, but mostly dormant. And at the end of that 20-year apprenticeship, which I thought was going to be my life's work, I heard a little voice that said, leave this work behind. And as shocked and dismayed as I was, I knew it was futile to resist whatever the universe was directing. And unbeknownst to me at that moment, information had come to me through a former student that introduced me to Master Shaw's work, and that was the segue. And having the privilege and honor of meeting Master Shaw, I recognized his ability to open these circuits of consciousness to a much vaster and more formative degree. And this was the bridge between what I had been apprenticed for and now was prepared to go to the master. And having been with Master Shaw now for the last 9 years, he has taken the capacity to heal hopeless cases in a very expeditious manner, in the most elegant means to enliven the inherent ability for our bodies to heal themselves. And it's been such a privilege to serve with him. So thank you for asking that question.
So what you're saying is, you went through this academic training and you got your PhD, and then you realized that it really wasn't giving you what you wanted from an academic,
correct,
intellectual perspective, that there was something missing, that, and you realized that after putting all that time and energy into going,
yes,
for your PhD.
Yes.
It's like, whoa,
yes,
wait a minute. And which has served you, no doubt. I mean, it served you well to have,
yes,
those credentials.
Yes.
But you really started off on a whole other, and, you know, and you call it a spiritual path, energetic healing path. So can you talk a little bit about your experience with energy medicine or energy healing? You know, it's become, well, it's the leading edge of what so many people are now incorporating into their healing practice, and understanding how we are energy beings and that we operate as receivers of this energy rather than just a physical body. Can you just, from your experience, elaborate a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. That the difference between when you have dandelions in the ground, you can mow them down and they will look like they're gone. But unless you get to the seeds and roots of those dandelions, they're just going to grow back up again. And so there are two very important aspects to this. First and foremost, who we are is the compilation of very sophisticated, very complex organization. And we're living systems. We're not preset. It's not static. We're dynamic. We adapt. We adjust. And it's the influences of consciousness itself, as we are conscious beings, and that consciousness is the primary organizing force. And the amount of this consciousness that we become aware of, that we can access, that empowers us, is how we can actualize our fullest potential. You know, I have a fun little story that I love. It's the student fish that swims up to the teacher fish and says, so what's this water everyone's talking about? We live in this ocean of consciousness that is intelligent, that is guiding, that is nourishing us. And think of it as a, we're like this beautiful 250-watt light bulb. And this ocean of consciousness is the battery, the juice, the energy that infuses and lights this beautiful, illuminating aspects of ourselves. Now, if there are resistors on our circuits, then the light bulb cannot radiate to its full potentiality. And these resistors are our blockages. They're mindsets, they're attitudes, they're levels of consciousness. There's a principle that says, you know, we don't see the world as it is, we only see the world as we are. And if we think of ourselves as these beautiful, let's say just a circle, that 10% of this circle is the reactive interpretive mind, like the ego, and I have a little acronym for the ego, that it energizes great obstacles. And the ego loves to judge, and it loves to interpret, and it has an opinion on everything. Well, about 95% of our energy goes into this 10% of this interpretive reactive mind. And when we're able to relinquish that by resonating at higher frequencies, then we become accessible to this open mind, everything other than interpretation. And that open mind is the sphere of consciousness of all this beautiful energy. And it is inspiring, it's intuitive, it has our greatest and highest benefits in mind. And when we realize that everything in our life comes for us, not to us, that the areas in our life that have the greatest obstacles, resistances, are actually pointing in the direction of our greatest treasures and our greatest abilities. And it is this cooperation, this communication of understanding that when things are arising, they're arising for purification. And that about a third of our life is about just purifying content. And that sort of segues, Cheryl, into this whole idea of energy and how we use it. That the history of humanity is the history of trauma. It's not if it's going to happen to us. It's just how many times when we talk about wars and plagues, and I know you're having some very severe weather right now in the Midwest, that we have all of these challenges. And these traumas get imprinted on our body being. It's content, it's information. And when we look at transgenerational traumatic experiences, so you have a mother and father, you have grandparents and great-grandparents, and if we go back just 1,000 years in humanity, which is just a drop in the bucket, if you do the mathematics, it's something like we have 1,766,000,000 and change ancestors that have experienced in their lifetime certain traumatic experiences. And those traumas get imprinted into our genetics. Now, we know that the study of epigenetics, which is the interplay between environment and our biology, is very fluid. And when we can see that these ancestral imprinted traumas are like programs of molecules of memory that influence how we think, how we see, how we respond. And when we realize that this is part of the purification process, as opposed to stationing with it or being re-traumatized by it, allowing it to just flow through us, like you would have a cold. We know that it's a detoxification process, and we know it has a beginning and a middle and an end. And so by cooperating with this sort of emotional spiritual detox of the imprinted traumas, what is the artifact of this is expanded ability, higher function, an expanded consciousness, a transformational experience. In the literature, it's so fascinating because in the medical literature indicates that only 3% of our genes are imprinted, eye color, racial origin, things of that nature, or other propensities. 95% in the scientific journals call that junk genes. Well, in my model, those quote-unquote junk genes are actually the transgenerational imprinted traumas. And so all of this healing, whether the future of medicine, is to transform these molecules of memory into regenerative molecules of transformation that are life-enhancing, expansive, and that access this blueprint template of our emotional spiritual design.
Wow, that's a lot to take in. So, Cheryl, can you give us an example?
Oh, absolutely. So, one of the primary examples, I have the privilege of working with probably the most challenging case of my entire career. She's 13 years old. She's a quadriplegic, cerebral palsy young girl, and she weighs only 30 pounds at this point because of complexities of her physical challenges. And having the privilege of being an advanced student with Master Zhigong Sha and being a Tao calligraphy teacher, I've been able to use these magnificent calligraphies as a distant osmotic transmission.
Wait, you know what? Wait. We're jumping into things, Cheryl, before we really explain all this. So can you give us let's start with a simpler example maybe in your past of where people have been able, because I want to talk about these other things, so we need to explain them before we start talking
about
them. Do you have another experience in your work, in your center, where you worked with people who had these memories or were holding the imprinting of these emotional memories? You know, there is an area of science with DNA, because I do a lot with epigenetics and I work with nutrigenomic testing, but there is an area that is looking at emotional DNA that's acknowledging that we carry in our DNA not just physical predispositions, but emotional imprinting that we have taken on from past generations that shows up in our physical, emotional, mental, even a spiritual body. So what you're saying is being validated by science, that emotions are carried through from generation to generation and can have an impact on us. And as we resolve and clear these inherited emotional patterns, we free ourselves up to really experience fully who we are. Do you have an example of that in your work?
Oh, absolutely. I've had the privilege of working with several descendants of Holocaust survivors. And my experience clinically is that the frequency of post-traumatic stress disorder type symptoms are much more prevalent in the descendants of Holocaust victims or survivors, that there is this imprinting that takes place. I've also noticed that transgenerationally, individuals who have come from countries in which there is a history of famine have a predisposition to an overcompensatory metabiology relative to being obese. And it's as if these traumas are imprinted. And once we begin to dissolve these traumas, that we can use the flexibility of our genetics, and particularly epigenetics, between our environment, our thoughts, our emotions, that we can dissolve these imprints and become much more aligned and congruent with our essential nature, as opposed to these sub-programs that are running these overriding programs.
That's such a fascinating concept, because when we really take it on board that the emotional material that you are dealing with in your lifetime now, I mean, if you have any emotional trauma, post-traumatic stress issues, whatever might be causing distress in your life now emotionally can be affecting your future generations. So
it
gives a whole new understanding of the responsibility to do our healing, to resolve these issues that have caused a certain degree of stress within us. So we are providing a cleaner slate, so to speak, to our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren down the track, because all of this is passed on.
Correct. It's all information, and this information affects what we'll call messenger molecules that contribute to switching our genes on and off. And realizing this not only is bidirectional, but that we can convert lower energy states into higher order conditions, that we have that power and that healing ability, and that has everything to do with these influences of these invisible energy fields that we were talking about that manage our health and are foundational to the medicine of the future, that it's all about prevention as opposed to symptom treatment, and that we are just these incredible living fluid systems. Nothing is preset, nothing is static, everything is in a constant state of adaptation and adjustment. I mean, think of it like in professional sports, let's just take baseball, that when they practice, they don't practice how to hit 100%. What they practice is recovery. How do I recover if the shortstop doesn't hit it and catch it and we have to go to the outfielder? Life is all about adaptation, recovery, flexibility. And when we understand this sense of fluidity, we are much more active participants as opposed to passive victims. We become much more interactive. And that we get these incredible triggers and information all the time, like little feathers across our cheek. It's intuition. It's, as the Quakers would say, listening to that small, still voice of our heart within. And the quieter we get, one of my favorite sayings is, the slower you go, the faster you get there. And it's about telescoping our future into our present. So when we become more active participants, be able to embrace greater levels of awareness, we are able to bridge these learning curves much more quickly. Once we master a lesson, all the other learning just collapses by attrition. And so when, let's just say on a very practical level, that we've inherited a lot of fear, worry, and doubt. I mean, that's pretty pandemic. And as we go through the transformation process and start resonating from a sense of love and equanimity and greater sense of inclusivity, that the levels of fear, worry, and doubt simply fall away by attrition. They're no longer activated. They're no longer participating in our programming. And we see the world as opposed to a very insecure place, to a place in which there's greater benevolence. And that's a state of grace. And so we're at the same level as life presents itself. That level of resistance and apprehension dissipates very rapidly, and we're able to be much more participatory at the incredible gifts and expansions that are ever present for us. There's a wonderful little teaching tale that says, when the pickpocket sees the saint, all he sees are pockets. And when the saint sees the pickpocket, he just sees, you know, pure consciousness. And so we don't see the world as it is. We only see the world as we are. And that's the difference between being contracted and being expansive.
Great. I mean, that's such a great way to help us understand that putting time into paying attention to who we are, becoming more mindful to what's going on, which is allowing us to just be present in our thinking, not worrying, not fearful, is a way where we begin to access more of the of who we are and the potential of what we've come in with. So that changes everything. Now, you've created, and you're the director of the Wellness Through Awareness Center. Can you share a little bit about what you're doing there, what that work is? Because I think it's quite unique in what you're doing.
Thank you. Well, I think we should just stay with a few definitions first, that true wellness is the power to direct our life in any chosen purpose. And our whole life is about how to utilize this field of energy. I mean, think of it this way. When you've got really good, high, sustainable energy, it takes half a day to do 3 days' worth of work. And when we have very low energy, it takes 3 days to do a half a day's worth of work. And we've all been there. It's just the natural course of being alive. But our sum total of how much life energy we can maintain and circulate and express defines us, defines our well-being, defines the power that supports our ability to actually manifest our purpose in life. So the name of the game is about how we utilize our life energy, how we invest it, how we direct it. And awareness is the what we've been talking about, this universe of consciousness, which is the primary organizing force of all there is. And the amount of that consciousness that we can circulate, we can embody, empowers our highest function, our fullest potential. And so Wellness Through Awareness is transforming these lower states of awareness into higher levels of consciousness, how to harness this consciousness, which is about 90% of our transformational process. So think of it as magnetic attractor fields. The higher our consciousness, the more we can attract what it is that we most desire. When our desire is at the same level of our intention, we can manifest almost instantly. And if our desire is only at 50% and our intent is a little soft around the edges, then that's basically what we get back. And so this idea of utilizing, harmonizing these innate abilities, these inborn knowingness of the body, our heart, our mind, our soul to align. Using all these, I mean, these very, we all have these incredibly divergent aspects of ourselves. If I was anyone's fairy godmother, what I would do this afternoon is transcribe the 24 hours of our thoughts. And what we would see from that transcription of those 60,000 plus or minus thoughts that we have every 24 hours is the exact mirroring of how our lives are manifest. I mean, one of the great principles is everything in our outer waking state is a reflection of our inner intent, and our thoughts replicate those beliefs, those attachments, those intentionalities. And so if we could see that transcription, it would become instantly apparent what aspects of ourselves are highly developed, very elegant, and working exquisitely, and what parts of us are targeted to be developed and evolved to a greater extent. And from that level of awareness, we can accelerate the learning curve. Blockages are not natural to nature's way. And so by dissolving the blockages, our level of wellness, the struggles, the ups and downs and roller coasters of life begin to take on a whole different configuration. So I call that the privilege of correction. I mean, think of it like we're pinching the back of our hand. It hurts. We're very unhappy with the unpleasantness of that pain. And yet we don't always realize that it's ourselves, that we are pinching the back of our hand, and that we can relinquish that suffering in a moment. That, again, things aren't happening to us. They're happening for our benefit, for awakening. And when we realize that the only reason that pain exists is in any aspect, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, is to awaken us to those dormant, undeveloped aspects of ourselves to come into greater harmony and balance.
Right. So what we're here to understand to whatever degree whatever it takes is to appreciate all of the challenges and all the things that may be a source of frustration and even physical pain are opportunities to delve deeper into the issues that we're operating with that no longer serve us or that aren't aligned with our highest good or for our greatest purpose in life. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes, exactly. Good summary.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to your wellness through awareness. Is there anything you want to share about that?
It's been such a privilege to work with so many people whose will to be well is so strongly embedded in their hearts and souls. And these are individuals who are so willing to do whatever is necessary to heal, that suffering is no longer an interesting way of life. And these are very committed students who have taken on practices, purifications, to transform their lives into being a vehicle for service. And what I mean by that is that when we resonate at a very high frequency, let's say love, compassion, forgiveness, things of those qualities, that we become a healing field for others. And it's not so much in our doing. Not everyone has been tapped to be a teacher or to be a healer or anything of that nature, but all of us, without exception, have the ability to resonate at a high frequency whose field becomes the healing force for others. And we've all had that experience when we're, let's say you sit with the Dalai Lama. I had the privilege of sitting with him for a week before he was on the world stage, and I didn't understand a word that he said. I didn't speak that dialogue. I don't even know what language he was speaking, whether it was. However, he could have read the Manhattan phone book because his transmission, what he conveyed osmotically, was transformative. It was his field. And so when we are that field ourselves, whoever comes within our sphere of influence, we are the balm, the healing force, the balancing and harmonizing aspect. And that's living a life of grace and great service to others. And if we realize that we're like these cell towers around the planet, that there are so many people who are committed to whatever their practice is, prayer, meditation, service, innumerable levels of serving, that these fields are the contribution beyond measure that is healing, rejuvenating, harmonizing, and contributing to a great degree. So
okay.
It's basically these invisible forces are actually the organizing force. And when we realize that we are all contributing, and whether it's life-enhancing or life-depleting is our choice, and making
so
that commitment, yes.
Okay, so you're teaching these concepts, and that's what you do in your center, is you're working with people who are at a place in their life where they really want to expand and overcome conditions, situations, programming, and really connect to a greater sense of peace and well-being of who they are. Is that correct? Okay.
Absolutely.
So you're doing some really interesting work, Cheryl, and I want to talk about that. So in order for people to understand what you're doing, we need to break it down, because these are concepts and these are ways of working with this energy field that people are not generally aware of or exposed to, and I certainly was not. So let me just say that when I was at the retreat in November, it was there for 2 weeks with Dr. Master Shah, he introduced to me, it was new to me, this what he calls Tao calligraphy. And I know you've taken it and are working with it. So let's start at the very beginning. What is this Tao calligraphy that Master Sha is bringing into the world that makes it unique in its ability to facilitate a frequency and energy of healing for people?
Great question. The simplest way to bridge that is think of barcodes. It's a little simplistic, but it'll be like the breadcrumbs walking across this path. So everything that you purchase has a barcode on it, and the barcodes embedded in this configuration has all the information about that product. It is its manufacturer, where it, what the components are, levels of distribution, et cetera. And it's read as you're checking out of the store by a laser beam, and that imprints the information that this purchase has taken place, what it is, and all of its organizational structure. These magnificent calligraphies that Master Sha has created are these like codes of consciousness. They're circuits of consciousness that are imprinted, like these barcodes, that are read by the chakras, these seven energy centers that are the interface between this ocean of consciousness and energy that we live in and our physical bodies. It is, I often think of myself as like a sock puppet, that I'm the sock, and it's the all the energy, of course, that animates us. And these calligraphies are imprinted with the highest resonance of energy and information. And that this information, in the literature it's called information transduction, which means it brings lower disorganized energy into a higher organized, readable, assimilable imprint of information that the body mind can use. And that when we have misinformation, then we have a breakdown in the body, that when it cannot resonate with the conditions. So that health is when we have high vitality and immunity, and that all the healthy cells and tissues and muscles resonate at this higher frequency, whereas disease conditions are actually the breakdown or misinformation, miscommunication, blockages that obstruct the molecular communication pathways. We just get inaccurate messages that often lead to undesirable consequences. So these magnificent calligraphies are the highest resonance that are able to be read by the body, mind, and being and re-imprint. They are recoding, bringing function into form, information into matter, and activating the blueprint, emotional, spiritual template of the human design. And so it is the most advanced healing that I have had the privilege and honor of utilizing, and having utilized it every single day. It will, since June 14th, 2014, I have not missed one day of utilizing these calligraphies as a healing tool for my students. And the results have been, well, all I can say is, Cheryl, that they have superseded any expectation that I could have ever imagined clinically. I humbly submit to your audience that I have had the, I take breath in this, it's hard for me to articulate, that I have been able to save people's lives in utilizing these. And there are tears in my eyes at the moment to have the privilege of being trained by Master Sha, to have the gift of these calligraphies to serve so many who are suffering. And as we started to talk before, I've taken on the most extreme case of my life, and I've been a practitioner, a therapist for almost 50 years at this point, so I have a little history that I can draw from. And I've working with this young quadriplegic cerebral palsy child for 14 weeks at this point, and the kind of developmental milestones that she has achieved in a mere 14 weeks, that she has never been able to activate or actualize these movements, these communications, these developmental milestones. She, her parents, her therapists, her teachers, are just in awe of what she's been able to accomplish. I've committed to working with her for a year as a research subject to see what is actually achievable. Concurrently, I've written a research grant to work with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, which is the most common fatal childhood disease on the planet. Affects about 1 in 3,000 births. And because it is a fatal disease in which the muscle tissue or muscle cells deteriorate into literally puddles of fat, and thus far, after billions of dollars of research that has gone into all means of finding a solution to this devouring disease, I'm taking this on to initiate that this year, to take on 10 families whose children have Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. And I believe that I wouldn't take this on without some idea of assurance that these masterful divine calligraphies have the potential to re-imprint the information at a genetic level, to reprogram the through information transduction, the communication pathways, so that the potential of re-imprinting this fatal disease into a healthy, vital message of going from deterioration to regeneration is quite possible. And I'm most excited and most privileged to embark on this research project.
Okay, so let's just help people understand this a bit more. So when we're talking about people, you're taking on really, 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 you know, in, I guess in one sense you would say genetically impaired people, muscular dystrophy, and this little 13-year-old who's had some, I mean, I think it's hypertonic quadriplegic cerebral palsy, which is kind of like a vegetable, and you've been getting her to do things and to respond in ways that she's never been able to respond in her 13 years. So it's like we have a programming. So we have a programming, and it's, and maybe it's what we can say. It's like we all have a programming in our physical. A physical responds to how our energy is flowing through our body. And then if we have a software glitch, then the energy is not able to flow, and it's going to manifest as a problem. And depending on how severe that glitch is, for wherever it came from, wherever that genetic or that energetic imbalance came from, it's going to impair the body's ability to function. In some cases, with certainly with this quadriplegic child with cerebral palsy or the children with muscular dystrophy, that shows up in really severe chronic conditions that are life-threatening. What you're doing with these calligraphies, and we're going to just stay with calligraphies in a little bit, is transmit an energy that realigns, and it's like corrects, energetically changes the imprinting, so the body can then function in a, the energy can flow in a way that the body can repair, heal, and regenerate, so improves functioning as a result. Is that
correct?
Is that
beautiful,
is that
summary?
Okay. Okay. So I wanted to go. Oh, good. Okay. Because this is really profound, and I really want people to understand it, and then we'll talk about how people can access or be able to find ways to use this. So Master Shah is a world-renowned healer. He's one of the most powerful spiritual healers and teachers on the planet in the moment, and what he's been able to do. And I've witnessed healings that he's been able to do that just astounded me. I mean, in person, I saw things. And some of my best friends have had amazing healings in the presence of Master Shah. And he wasn't necessarily even in the room when they received the healing. He just transmitted it remotely. So he was given the ability to bring in these written Chinese, when you say calligraphy, it's a Chinese writing. It's on a scroll, and it's a Chinese writing, or it is Chinese writing, of words or phrases, sacred words, sacred phrases, sacred, maybe, you know, affirmations. And he was given an ability to write it in a way, literally write it on a scroll. But through his power, this is how I explain it, Cheryl. It's like he draws a circle. When he does a calligraphy, he first draws a circle. And then in one stroke, without taking the pen off the paper, he writes this phrase, this sacred phrase, sacred word, whatever. One stroke, never takes the pen off the paper, and completes this calligraphy, as it's known. And it's like when he first draws the circle, it's like creating, I call it the Stargate. He creates a Stargate. It's like a portal into another dimension. If people can just stay with me here. It's like a portal into another dimension. And then he, with this special one-stroke technique that he was given by a master, he dials into that Stargate a frequency. And that calligraphy then becomes an activated field that people who are trained are able to transmit the field, the imprinting, the energetic signature of that field into the energy body of another person, either in their presence or who's not in their presence. It could be anywhere, because with intention can be remotely transmitted throughout time and space. Is that accurate, Cheryl? Does that
absolutely
make sense you're doing?
Totally. I would simplify that just a tad and just say that we convey what we embody. And when an individual is of the highest consciousness and confluent with and one with the Tao, that their ability as a conveyance transmission is that. And so the representation, the imprinting of these calligraphies is the same as the consciousness of the conduit, the being. And so, and that's the way it's been through all of history with every saint, sage, avatar, guru, lama, kahuna, etc. Yes, what you said is very accurate.
I mean, because it's really a challenge to convey this to people and understand it, because we're dealing with energy. We're dealing with something invisible. I mean, if you were to look at what someone's doing, standing from that calligraphy and saying, you know, transmission, and there's nothing you see unless your third eye is open, and then you see it all, right? My third eye is
you
not
know
open,
what,
but there are people. Go ahead.
You said it very, very beautifully, Cheryl. I mean, think of it, the history of science and the art of medicine have always been predicated on our capacity to observe. So before the advent of the microscope, the cell theory of life or the germ theory of disease was unknown. There were literally just hundreds of theories of how biological compromises were made. And with the advent of the microscope, now we knew the cell theory of life and the germ theory of disease. Well, so too with the advent of x-rays, that before we would have to do dissections to see inside the body. Now we have x-rays and CT scans and PET scans. So the ability to understand the laws of nature and to understand nature's secrets have always been predicated on our ability to observe. And what you've described is the ability to see the invisible, to create the impossible. And when we look back in history of, let's just say, acupuncture, which came from Taoist masters before the advent of all the internet and distractions and diversions that we have in today's culture, that they spent lifetimes in observation. And I guess one of the principal stories that came out of acupuncture is that they noticed that there was a waterfowl, a bird, that would only eat poisonous bugs, but was never affected by it, whereas any other creature that ate these bugs succumbed to the poison. But they noticed that every time this bird ate, it put one of its talons into what would be the equivalent of a gallbladder, and it mitigated the poisonous situation. And so by observing the subtleties through meditation, through expanded awareness, through just simply trial and error, the art form of acupuncture and the healing that comes from it took place. And so, too, this is the next advent of awareness, sensitivity, observation, by utilizing these imprinted calligraphies that, and I loved your word, stargate or portal, a direct conduit to a plethora of information. And I can only say that I have the scantest awareness of the depth and breadth of the information that is conveyed from these calligraphies, other than I can feel the energy conduit and purification that takes place through them. So the ability to see the invisible, to create the impossible, is the next step in the evolution of all of medicine and all of healing arts at this point. And Master Shah is at the cutting edge and certainly leading a revolution in the ability to heal and transform.
And you're trained in writing these calligraphies. I'm curious, so when you're working with the children with muscular dystrophy, what is written on the calligraphy that you're transmitting?
Well, I don't know whether this is true or not, but I will share it with you, that all paths lead to the Tao. So all Tao calligraphies have the same components, simply how they are intentionally focused. I just must correct just for a moment here. I have not started the research grant yet with the muscular dystrophy children. That's coming later this year. Okay. But I intend to use a very advanced calligraphy called the Tao Dan, and it has the direct embodied communication information imprint to the Tao itself. And so I must share with you, my own ignorance is vast and deep. I don't know all the components of the layers and layers and layers of the why and how things are organized. I am simply a privileged individual that has the honor of utilizing a power tool of this magnitude to be able to serve. And that's the depth and the breadth of it.
Right. So you've got approval to do this study with these children down the track.
Yes.
You're actually going to be doing
yes.
a, and it yes. should be said that you present this information at medical conferences or professional conferences. I mean, you're so
yes.
on the leading
yes.
edge and so courageous that you're going into these professional conferences and talking about energy and calligraphies and, you know, just transmitting. And what's the result you get when you speak at these conferences?
Well, the exciting part about it, Cheryl, is that I use skepticism is vast these days, and words are very cheap. It's the ability to have an intimate, immediate, quantifiable, personal experience that is the bridge. And I've developed a movement access code protocol in which everyone in the audience, all the doctors that come to these conferences can have an immediate experience. So I give them a little movement direction, and we mark it in terms of a range of motion. I convey the calligraphy that I'm working with. Usually one is called Lingguan, which is soul light. One is Daoguan, Dao light, or Da'ai, greatest love. I've used many different calligraphies. They all work equally as exquisitely. And then we'll do a little prose test, and 99% of everyone in the audience has indicated that they've had a quantifiable greater range of motion after the conveyance of the calligraphy information than they did pre and post. And it took me longer to tell you about it than it actually takes to execute it. So with that level of immediacy, it's undeniable that something has happened. And what has actually happened is that the realization that that information and energy are one and the same, and that when we remove the energetic blockages, we're able to expand function, expand ability, and that understanding that we are these highly ordered, very intelligent systems, we're animated and organized by information energy fields, and by conveying this information, we can directly perceive something very different. And the second part of that little experience for the doctors is more on the emotional level, and I have them do a little energy experience with a partner that they're sitting next to. And again, universally, the level of tangible, immediate, quantifiable results that they were not experiencing prior to the transmission makes for immediate acceptance that energy information is transforming, and that there is a change that has taken place. And so the realization
I don't want to interrupt, but we're really at the end of the show, so I want to make sure
people know
your website, and your website is, I'm going to give it to people, Dr. Cheryl, C-H-E-R-Y-L, Malakoff, MALAKOFF.com, Dr. Cheryl Malakoff.com, if people want to know more about the work of Dr. Master Shah, I suggest people go to drshah.com. Anything else you want to say? What would you say to people who are really interested, curious about this, and want to learn more? Where should they go?
I think going to Master Shah's website is an excellent start in terms of comprehending energy, information, and calligraphies. It's very exciting, and there's all sorts of free resources. And if they would like to know more about wellness through awareness, I have many articles and videos up on my own website as well. And I cannot thank you enough, Cheryl, for this invitation and this opportunity to share with you today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. So go to Dr. Cheryl Malakoff if you'd like to know more about what Cheryl is doing, and Dr. Shah to learn more about drshah.com to learn more about the work that Dr. Master Shah is doing, and lots of free experiences and resources there. So I definitely encourage you to go there. So thank you all. This is another amazing conversation that we're having on the Love Code. I trust you expanded your mind and heart. And until next time, have a week filled with love, peace, and harmony. Bye for now.